Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that is weird, but helpful.
Just like it's helpful.
Us in real life. I'm Carrie Jones. I'm an internationally best-selling novelist and reporter, and now a podcaster. And with me, as always, is my husband, Sean Kelly Farrar. What are you, Shawnee?
A man with three names, apparently.
And that means you're going to be a murderer soon, probably.
Oh, that's right.
But every podcast, we do a random thought, and then we give you a little life help, maybe.
Usually based on a dog's advice.
And then a dog tip, right. And it's all meant to be good happiness, man.
Just fun.
So chill back, relax, and maybe you'll learn something.
Or maybe you'll laugh.
Or maybe even both. Hey, welcome to the podcast.
The
very late.
Yeah, I feel guilty. We didn't do one last week, and we're 2 days late this week.
Yeah, we're failing pretty hard. We're failing hard at the podcast, but we're going to get better.
We're going to get it back under wraps. Don't worry, people.
Yeah, we're going to figure out a plan.
We've just been super busy these last 2 weeks.
It's overwhelming, and there's supposed to be a hurricane tomorrow, so...
Yeah, we found time to do it this week.
So we finally found time.
Even though it was 2 weeks late.
But that's not what you want to hear about. You want to hear about repurposing dead spiders, counting cadaver nose hairs, and winning Ig Nobles for comical scientific feats.
I want to listen to... I'm interested in the first two, probably.
This is from an AP article about this thing called the Ig Nobles, which is a yearly achievement award for humorous scientific feats.
Really?
Yeah. And today, Thursday, September 14th, 2023... was the 33rd annual prize ceremony.
Really?
Yes.
Is it like a big deal?
Well,
or do they give out like bowling trophies that accidentally got made with the wrong name on it so the trophy company sells them for a dollar?
That would be awesome. I don't know if they do that. But it's at Harvard, so they must put a little bit
of money into it because they got that endowment.
We get letters from them every week asking for more money.
Oh, Jesus, you just made me realize something.
That you have an endowment?
That I got screwed twice in life.
Oh, God.
I didn't get no monetary endowment, and nor did I get the important endowment.
You've got to, you know, before you die,
you
have got to grow past thinking that your size of your external organ, not your tongue, matters.
Oh, I know, baby. It's not the size of the ship, it's the motion of the ocean.
This is why we haven't been doing podcasts.
Because we've been too busy.
No, because our podcast reminds me.
The waves.
Our podcast reminds me of what I've done to myself. So.
What?
Anyway.
Oh, my God. People, if you didn't know, that was directly at me.
So, apparently, in a paleontological association newsletter in 2017 explaining the Ig Nobel Awards, one of the scientists said, licking the rock, which is what he won an award for,
really?
Is part of the geologists and paleontologists' armory of tried and much tested techniques used to help survive in the field. Wetting the surface allows fossil and mineral textures to stand out sharply rather than being lost in the blur of intersecting micro-reflections and micro-refractions that come out of a dry surface. So this Polish scientist who won the Ig Nobel won it for licking rocks. And that's how he explained that he goes around licking rocks.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. You can carry like a little bottle of water around with you and just give the rock a quick rinse.
I can't be that kind of scientist because I'd get so squidged out by I made that word up. But I would get all that from seeing all these scientists.
Oh, you would. I was thinking he should just spit on it, but then you'd vomit.
Oh, dear God, no spit. But what if they have saltine debris on their tongue and they're going out licking these fossils? What do you do for a living? I'm a fossil licker. the end.
I got a sex joke for that, but I can't say.
No, I don't think you should. Huh? So another team of scientists from, they won the Mechanical Engineering Prize, and they are from India, China, Malaysia, and the U.S. So it's a multi-country Ig Nobel here. And they repurposed dead spiders to be used, quote, in gripping tools, according to the AP article.
What?
Yes.
They use the juice they put in their web or something to make the...
They basically take the biotic materials.
Yeah.
And which they say, quote, has been refined by nature over time. So they don't have to engineer it. Right?
Yeah.
And so then they just, like, said, hey, we can use this and make a gripper for robotic applications. Huh.
That's crazy.
I know. They're going to start murdering the spiders.
No, they're going to repurpose them.
Maybe. They're going to kill them once
they're ready. Maybe they'll have...
Like, where do they get all these dead spiders?
They can just raise them.
They raise them for death, just like us, and cows, and piggies, and chickens, and humans.
Just like a pig farm, or ranch.
So the other here, here's the direct quote from Rathke, who is reporting from Marshfield, Vermont. Other winning teams were lauded for studying the impact of teacher boredom on student boredom, the effect of anchovy sexual activity on ocean water mixing.
Really?
And how electrified chopsticks and drinking straws can change how food tastes.
Really?
Yeah. And so these are all things that...
I can see the do they mean they actually run an electric current through chopsticks while you eat? That would change the way your taste buds receive that food, probably, for sure. Yeah.
Another article that's on AP today, just like off topic, is that NASA, according to Marcia Dunn, said that UFOs will require new scientific techniques to figure out what the hell is going on. NASA said.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're just trying to get more money, dude.
So they released their 33-page report, which was actually created by an independent team, and they said, quote, the negative perception surrounding UFOs poses an obstacle to collecting the data. However, they think that because NASA is so awesome, that it will help reduce that stigma.
So,
they want to shift the conversation from sensationalist to scientific, basically.
So who's got a negative feeling about UFOs?
Everybody. There's a stigma. There's a stigma. The government. No, there's a stigma. Like, people don't want to report that they saw a UFO because other people think they're weirdos. It's like Bigfoot. Or ghosts. Or when you talk to your great aunt Rena.
So if you're not talking
to... And ask her for...
If you're not talking to a fellow experiencer or believer, you might get made fun of or something.
You might just get talked over.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I thought that was kind of interesting.
It was. Very interesting.
All right.
All right, what?
Was that weird enough news for you?
I hope so.
Okay.
Rocking her.
So this podcast is about stuff.
What kind of stuff, baby?
It's about logic, honestly. So when you're writing a novel and something doesn't make sense, let's say someone has brown eyes on page 2 and blue eyes on page 1, your editor or your Sean is going to call you on that, right?
Hopefully.
And if you don't have an editor or a Sean, your readers will notice and their brain will hitch, right? Sean's very good at noticing these
things. They'll probably call you on it too.
Yeah, and a review on Amazon, and then you'll cry. So what I'm saying is that here, like, editors are really good for writers, right?
Yes.
Because they help keep us logical and not making mistakes. But we kind of need those for real life too. And that's because a lot of time, people don't seem to listen to facts. Reason is honestly what helps us justify our beliefs, but sometimes that means that we aren't awesome at seeing the truth because we're too busy justifying our beliefs. So we cherry pick facts that support our own ideas, and then we get biased, and then we start looking and seeing information that holds with what we already believe rather than the information that goes counter to what we believe. If you believe that your husband is always talking over you, you only hear it when he talks over you, and you don't hear it, like, right now. He's silent.
That's correct.
So there's two cognitive scientists, Hugo Mercier and Dan Sperber, believe that reasoning is to help us. Like, we have this capacity to reason so that we can function as social groups rather than as people who seek out truth. Which is really interesting to me. You get it? Like, no. You have a face.
Yeah.
Alright, so what we do is we reason, and we reason so that we can believe things, and we reason so that we can believe things in a group of humans, right?
Right.
So our reasoning isn't necessarily to find out what the truth is. Our reasoning is because we're social and we want to fit in with a group, is what these guys are saying.
I understand.
So, like, you know, like, there's one... Let's say you read a news blog and the person's super liberal, and to such an extent that they're as extreme as a super conservative person, right? Or either way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here, let's do something easier. Let's say you go to you subscribe to a news site and they start talking about how Franklin barbecue is the only good kind of barbecue and McKay barbecue is terrible, right?
Right.
And everything that they post correlates to how Franklin barbecue is amazing. But in truth, when people have a blind taste test, both the barbecues are equally amazing, right?
Ooh.
So then what happens is, even when some people are like, I'm not sure, I thought McKay barbecue might have been okay, they start losing that because they reason and use all those little tidbits of fact to conform to the group of supporters for this blog, and then they all write and they talk to each other in the blog comments and they re-support that belief through reason. They'll find, like, oh, it's because of A, B, C, and D that Franklin barbecue's amazing, but they'll ignore E, F, G, H, K. And the reason that they're doing it is because they don't really even care about what barbecue is the best barbecue. They care about fitting in and hanging out and being chilling the cool kids with everybody else who loves Franklin barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
It's like kind of like musical artists. Like, is like some people will be like, I love Taylor Swift. And if somebody says, no, Beyonce's better or Shakira's better, like, they won't ever agree. Or like Cardi B is better. Even if Cardi B or Beyonce or whoever, Shakira, has more records or a bigger vocal range or skills, they'll always believe that T Swift, I'm not saying any of this is true, it's just an example, is the best, right?
Yeah.
And part of that is because they become a part of a community of T Swifties, right?
The fact that you're calling her T Swift makes me think you might be involved in that.
I am not involved in that, but I have had my Taylor Swift moments.
Have you?
Oh, she's cute. So, a Psychology Today article by Jessica Schrader, she writes, a number of studies document the many ways in which our political party distorts our reasoning. That's a good example, right?
Yes.
One study found that people who had strong math skills were only good at solving a math problem if the solution to the problem conformed to their political beliefs.
Liberals.
Yeah, isn't that wild? Liberals are only good at solving a math problem, for instance, if the answer to the problem showed that gun control reduced crime. Conservatives were only good at solving this problem if the solution showed that gun control increased crime. And another study found that the higher an individual's IQ, the better they are at coming up with reasons to support their position, but only a position they agree with.
That is amazing.
I know, it's amazing.
That's really, really, really amazing.
I know. And if you are, like, say I'm a liberal and I'm writing a newspaper story, I'm trying to prove that, I'm trying to write that cruise ships are bad, right?
Right.
For our environment locally, and I can't find any data to do that, what do I do? You know, like...
You mix it up.
Exactly. So, belonging to, she continues, belonging to a particular political party can also shape our perception. In one study, researchers were asked to watch a video of protesters. Half of the participants were told that people in the video were protesting the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. The other half were told that people were protesting an abortion clinic. Liberals reported saying the protests were more violent and disruptive if they were told they were watching an abortion clinic protesters. And the opposite was true for conservative, even though they were all watching the same exact video.
Huh.
Isn't it interesting?
Super interesting.
So it's all about trying to belong.
It is, apparently.
And that's why it's okay that you and I write news, because we know we're never going to effing belong.
Yeah, that's pretty much true.
We're like, yeah, no, we don't fit in anywhere. And that's kind of cool, though, right? Like,
it's real cool.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have a dog tip soon. Don't you worry.
Dog tip for life, baby.
That's so loud.
You were grimacing.
That's because you're so loud.
I altered my whole ending just for you, so you wouldn't feel so blown out of your chair.
Blown out of my chair.
Yeah, I use a totally different tone for my life.
Do you have a dog tip for life, baby?
Well, I mean, did we get a pokey for this dog tip? We sure did.
I think we did.
The young buck. Although she's
a doe. She's a doe. She doesn't care about sex, though.
No, she loves everybody. Mm-hmm. She only cares about the tongue.
Okay. All right. That was gross. All right. Anyway.
Not in a sexual way.
Oh, I just. Oh.
She's a kisser.
Okay.
Isn't she?
Yes.
Anyways, she's also.
Do you have a dog tip for life?
A lover of stuffies.
Oh, nosies. And?
No, I don't have a dog tip
for
life.
Oh, my God.
I did, but the cat is trying to
move. Oh, you always have an excuse. You always have an excuse. All right, here. I think that...
You got one?
No, but I'll make one up. So here, what Pogi wants you all to know is Pogi spends a lot of her time hoarding all her doggy toys. And the reason I think she does that is because in her past life, her doggy toys used to get taken.
Yeah.
Right? So she puts them all on the couch or the kennel or wherever she is, the doggy bed, and she kind of lines them up sometimes. Sometimes they're just in a pile in a corner.
Yeah.
So she knows where they are. And I think that that's because Pogi thinks that her toys are going to get stolen.
I think so, too.
But nobody else in this house wants a Clifford the Big Red Dog stuffy with no stuffy in it. And no one wants to take her toys, right? But it doesn't believe. It doesn't matter what you believe about that, right?
Right.
Because it's just what it is. Similarly, the scientist who licked those rocks, you so beautifully earlier on in the podcast explained, he doesn't need to lick them rocks. He can just put a little water on it. But he and all
that's part of their culture, right?
Yes, and yeah. It's part of Pogi's culture too to be a hoarding little puppy.
That's right.
And it doesn't matter if it's illogical or not. It just matters that it makes them feel like they belong.
Well, honestly, just because she's got all her toys in one pile, I don't know if that means she knows where they all are.
Well, then you just ruined the whole dog.
No, I really think she forgets. So it's just like a kid's. It's exactly like a kid's toy box. You know what I mean? Something you used to play with all the time ended up on the bottom temporarily until one day you just dumped that thing upside down. And then you're like, oh, I've been looking for you, G.I. Joe.
That has nothing to do with the podcast.
Why have you been hiding on me?
Maybe G.I. Joe was scared.
Maybe. It doesn't. How much of our podcast has to do with our podcast all the time?
This one?
This one we got lucky.
No,
this one flowed right in each other. Baby, you did a good job with this one. You picked
stories. I made it work. I made it work,
Sean.
I pushed it hard.
You know, if you wouldn't have interrupted me, that's exactly where I was going. I am? Oh. Hit stop. All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You do, you know?
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new
amazing creepy podcast is Dude No. Just like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast.
Loving the Strange.
Which we stream live.
On Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. Yeah. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah, we can't take much more.